And now, an Envision Financial podcast with Luke Smith on Canberra's 2CC.
Friday afternoon, you know what that means. It's time to talk money. And the man who knows all about the subject is Luke Smith from Envision Financial. Good afternoon.
How are we? Are we good?
I think we are. You do know about money, don't you? You're not just making all this stuff up.
Well, we've been making it up for 20 years, so it's a pretty good story if I don't.
I'm actually sometimes quite astounded by all the detail you know when you start talking about some of the ins and outs of some of the investment options, especially involving the superannuation arrangements, which can get quite complicated and confusing and baffling. You've got it all down.
Well, it's like most things. If you ask somebody in their profession how to do something simple, what people need to keep in mind is we do this every day. It's no different to me getting someone to come and build something at my house or lay some concrete. I understand generally what I need in concrete, and I understand what colour I want, but I don't understand the intricacies of the thickness of Rio and the millimetres per square foot of something. So sometimes it's the little details that make the difference.
Go to the professionals. If you need brain surgery, go to a neurosurgeon. If you need tax advice, go to an accountant. If you need financial investment planning advice, go to Luke Smith.
Well, I think, you know, there are two things that everybody in Australia is a professional at. One of them's finance.
Right.
The other one's sport. Because everybody knows how they'd coach a team, change a team, change a structure, and do what the current coach is doing without having any of the backstory. So I think we're in one of those fields where everybody has an opinion, and generally they think that them and the ladies around the water cooler are generally right.
Yes, the old armchair experts. Today we're talking about a very simple question. Should I start a pension before the 30th of June? This, of course, continues on with our recent theme of preparing for the end of the financial year. And I guess that's an important question, isn't it? If you're looking at starting your pension, do you do that before the 30th or wait until the new financial year?
Yeah, look, I think you've hit the nail on the head. We've tried to have a series now of 30 June sort of preps. And this is really pointing at the moment because we've talked in previous shows about maximising deductions, and using a pension strategy's popped up through a couple of those because it's a very good way to be able to get access to money in superannuation. And if you're over 60 and you start a pension now, you can make a withdrawal and pay no tax. And as we've said in previous episodes, that could be money that you could use to put straight back in and claim a tax deduction to reduce your taxable income in this financial year. So if we take a step back and say, well, what is a pension? There are two sides to the way that superannuation works. You've got accumulation phase, which as the name states, that's when we're putting money in over our working life. And then we have the pension phase. And all we need to think about really is we take off the accumulation hat, we put on the pension hat, and money starts to come out. So nothing changes in relation to your underlying assets. One big misconception is that, well, I'm going into a pension now, I need to change everything. You actually don't. You just change from putting it in to taking it out. Now, there are certain rules that we need to adhere to, and we've seen some changes there in relation to the current COVID issues. And what I mean by that is where you start a pension, you must meet the minimum drawing for your age that is set by the government. So from 55 to 65, you've got to draw normally 4%. And that's got to come out any time during the financial year to benefit from all of the tax-free concessions that a pension has. And what the government has done is similar vein to what they did through 08 and 09, is they've said, we don't want people taking money out because the capital value of their assets has come off, so we'll halve the minimum that you need to take under the law.
All right, yep.
So if you had $1 million in a super fund and you started a pension, you had to draw 40 by the 30th of June. Now you only need to draw 20.
Although you could draw more than 20 if you wanted to.
Spot on. You can still draw whatever you need to fund the lifestyle and the decisions that you want to make. But one of the upsides of moving to pension phase is that everything inside your fund is now tax-free. So in accumulation phase, you pay 15% tax on earnings or less, depending on how you have it structured. When you put the pension hat on, which means that you've met a condition of release, okay, and you start what we call one version of a pension is called an account-based pension. Provided you've met a condition of release, so you're at your Commonwealth preservation age, or you've ceased gainful employment over the age of 60 from one source, there are two ways that you could say, right, I'd like to start a pension and I'd like to take money out now, and inside my fund, everything is now tax-free. Now, the upside of that is you pay no capital gains tax on the sale of assets. So very advantageous as part of your planning process if you've been holding on to things for many, many years. They haven't been hit too bad by COVID repricing, and you can sell things without paying tax. So that's the fundamental difference between accumulation and pension, just to sort of clear that up.
All right. So having cleared that up, if you do decide that you should start a pension before the 30th of June, how do you actually go about doing that?
So what most funds, or what all funds are going to want, is they need a declaration to say that you've met a condition of release or you've retired from the workforce. Once you've made that election, you then need to complete the appropriate paperwork for your respective fund, and they will change the treatment of your account from an accumulation account to a pension account. Some things to keep in mind with 30 June coming up, as we've touched on in other shows, you want to maximise your contributions where possible, be them deductible or non-deductible, because you cannot add to the value of a pension once it's started. Now,
right.
For the techies out there, yes, you can wind it back to accumulation, add more money and go back to pension phase. But generally speaking, if you start a pension with that $1 million, unless you're in a self-managed super fund, you need another fund to receive contributions in the future.
Right.
Okay, so that's one of the benefits of that. And that's generally the process that most funds will want to start the pension. An election to say you meet the conditions. You've started an income stream. You've elected how you want your benefit to be paid, and that can come out, depending on the fund you're in, weekly, monthly, quarterly, annually, or anywhere you want to draw it. Just check with your relevant provider. And you can use that as a good funding mechanism for paying off debt, making spouse contributions, building superannuation in a spouse's name to get under the transfer balance cap. So there are a number of broader strategies that you could use the access to capital for, as well as having those tax benefits both this year and next year, depending on whether you work or not.
Okay, so why would we be thinking about starting it before June rather than before June 30, I should say, rather than waiting for the new financial year? What are the benefits of doing that, or for that matter, the drawbacks, if any?
Yeah, okay, so obviously when you think about structuring a pension, it's there to fund lifestyle and the things that you want to do. Ultimately, that's why we contribute to super. Some reasons why you would think about doing it before June. So we touched on last week, if you took money out now and put it straight back in, you could lower your taxable income by making a personal deductible contribution. And self-employed and employees can do that now. Just keep in mind that the $25,000 limit includes all sources of income. So that's one reason why, if you didn't have the cash lying around to make a contribution to super, you could pull money out as a pension, put it back in. And make the most of that. You may also want to build up superannuation in a spouse's name. If you had a CSS or PSS pension, for example, and you were over the transfer balance cap, that means that your pension may not be tax-free in the future. So what you could do is pay a large pension payment out, make a contribution in a spouse's name, and then have more tax-free pension income in that other person's possession,
yep,
where it may not be taxable or tax-free to you. That's a very good strategy. You could pay down some debt with tax-free money. So if we think about that one, if you've been salary sacrificing up to $25,000 for the last few years, then you've still got a non-deductible mortgage. Making a pension payment now could allow you to eliminate that debt, and you're paying zero tax to get the money out of super. So if you've been salary sacrificing at a rate of 15%, you've just paid your house off at a maximum tax rate of 15%, which is far better than using after-tax money at 39% if you were to save your salary outside of super. So again, we start to stack some of these strategies on top of each other and really use the cash flow benefits of the pension to then extrapolate out other strategies like debt reduction. What about this one? What if you wanted to eliminate a lot of debt? You made a pension payment now, and on the 1st of July, you made another pension payment for the next financial year. So you'd have 2 years of pension payments out of your pension account that you could use to eliminate debt, and you've done it in the space of, what have we got, 3 weeks? 2.5 weeks? You've had 2 years of pension payments in 2.5 weeks.
Yeah, well, there you go. Today's the 12th, so what's that? 1, 2, 2.5. Yeah, yeah. You're spot on.
Because a lot of people make the assumption that a pension, they think age pension, they think fortnightly.
When actual well, that's fact, right, yeah.
When actual fact, you could take it out in one lump sum for the year.
Okay.
So what if you took this pension out for this year, next week,
mm-hmm,
and the 2021 pension out in the first week of July? You've had 2 years of full pension payments, tax-free, over the age of 60, to eliminate a debt on a house, pay off a car, give some money to the kids, have a party, whatever you want to do with it, because you don't need to think fortnightly when it comes to funding a pension out of your own super. It can be on any frequency that suits your strategic needs or your lifestyle or your upcoming capital expenditure. So think about how you take your pension, because you may be able to have that holiday as soon as the planes leave the ground a little bit sooner than you thought.
All right. Now I'm just a poor boy from the country. I don't always understand these things. If you take out a full year's pension this year and next year over the space of a couple of weeks, and you use all that money to pay off your house or pre-book a holiday for when international travel starts again, doesn't that leave you with nothing left to live on? Or have you got money somewhere else?
Again, it depends on what you're taking.
Right.
So it's always got to be taken in context. But again, if you were planning on, say, saving $50,000 over the next financial year to be able to do something, and you thought, well, I've got to take that out, because the misconception we have a lot is, well, I need to pay that on a fortnightly or monthly basis. Well, if you need to eliminate debt, pay it now, pay it later. If we come back to that minimum that we were talking about, if you need to take $40,000 out over the course of a year to meet your minimum pension requirements, 40 now, 40 in July, there's 80.
Yeah.
You've met 2 years of financial obligations in relation to the pension rules, but you've also now got a ton of money sitting against, you know, your mortgage, for example, in your offset account at a very low interest rate, which you could benefit from prior to rates going up in the future. So again, it's always about putting your personal situation in context. But if you did need money quickly for various strategies, this is a very good way of using them to be able to build accounts in spouses' names or pay off debt.
Now, we've talked about how a pension is different from the accumulation phase of your superannuation, and we've talked about why you might think about starting a pension before the 30th of June. So now it's time to find out what are some of the strategies that people can consider to get the most out of June 30.
All right, so obviously maximising your contributions. I've been banging on about this, but I find that people are now sort of running the gauntlet of, oh, I should start thinking about that. A pension payment before June could be used to put money back into super up to the $25,000 concessional limit. Very, very useful. It could be used for making non-concessional contributions for a spouse, which is a contribution to super where a deduction is not claimed. Say if you wanted to balance out your estate planning or your accumulation or get under the transfer balance cap, as I spoke about, pay a pension and reduce or use that money to then do some renovations on your home, and you're reducing your assessable assets for Centrelink purposes. So that's another one to think about, obviously, because your home is exempt. Mm-hmm. If you're renovating and putting money into your house, you're reducing the assessable value of your pension account, which then obviously would be assessed for Centrelink purposes. Spouse payments we've touched on. And also think about transition to retirement. We haven't touched on that one. That's just where you want to keep working, but you haven't retired totally. And provided you're over your Commonwealth preservation age, you're able to take out between the minimum, so let's stay with the reduced amounts, you can take between 2% where you're under 65 up to a maximum of 10% in any one financial year and still be working in the workforce. So that's another good way to access money. Again, if you're over 60, you could access a pension payment tax-free. One caveat there is obviously, I touched on before the break, a pension is tax-free inside. That is not the case with a transition to retirement pension. You still pay 15% tax inside it. So you need to have the right motives for starting that sort of income stream and crunch the numbers to see if it's worth it. But again, if you've got non-deductible debt on your house, whip it out of there, offset it, leave it there. You've got access to it. You could always put it back in if you need to. And it gives you a good foundation for other strategies. And a little one here for those that aren't wanting to start a pension.
Okay.
You don't have to be over 60 for money to be tax-free to come out of super.
Okay. Okay.
There's something called a taxable lifetime limit, and that allows you to draw up to $200,000 as a lump sum from your super and pay no tax. So there's a little workaround for those that say, oh, well, I don't want to start a pension or I can't start a pension. Provided you've met a condition of release, there is something called a taxable lifetime limit. It's currently around $200,000. And you can draw that out as a lump sum and not pay tax and be under the age of 60. So again, one big misconception is, oh, I have to be 60 for it to be tax-free. Not at all. It depends on the components of your fund and what you're taking out in relation to volume and your age at the time. So just another little sort of myth buster there in relation to everything being 60 and over is the only way for something to be tax-free. That's actually not the case.
Okay, so there's quite a large loophole there, really, when you think
about it. Well, again, it's just about making sure that you understand what's your why?
Yeah.
And what are the benefits of taking it out? Some of the downsides, obviously, in this environment are, you know, you're reducing your capital base. You've got less money earning income to pay pension payments. You may or may not have a taxable pension, depending on your age and what we've just talked about. So, you know, it's not all cupcakes and rainbows. And it's not for everybody. Definitely don't advocate you race out and do this.
Mm.
It's about having a structured approach to what you're doing to make sure that you're getting the most out of this time of year.
Okay, so we've been talking about why you would choose to start a pension before 30th of June. What about why you would choose not to? Are there reasons to put it off until after the 1st of July?
Yep, so some reasons there could be age,
mm-hmm.
balance.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, you want things to grow and to limit, obviously, accessing capital in a weaker economic environment. Obviously, with COVID and markets bouncing around, you may not want to realise positions at the moment. So I can completely understand that. And that's why I say, don't just race out and do this. Consider your broader needs and situations first. You may also want to maximise the sale value of assets.
Right.
Okay. You may also want to make additional contributions prior to you finishing work, or if you're going to work through or take recreational leave in the next financial year, you may want to make additional contributions to maximise your tax deductions prior to taking an income stream from super. So it really depends on your time frame, your broader tax position, your cash flow, and your need for capital. They'd be the four things that I'd be assessing prior to kicking a pension off by default and working out when and how. But I'm seeing at the moment a lot of people are using it to try and eliminate debt, to try and balance out superannuation accounts between spouses, and also to try and, especially for the CSS and PSS and DFRDB MSPS members, to get as much money into a spouse's name as possible, because the pension they receive may be over the transfer balance cap, which by default makes their accumulated super taxable for the remainder of their natural life. So the equalisation thing's really prominent at the moment, given the change in legislation.
Okay, and whichever way you go, you really should consult your professional financial planning advisor first. And Luke, if people want to know more, where do they get that information?
Yeah, so, you know, they can give us a ring in the office, 6260-4749. If they want to check anything out, we've got the Knowledge Centre on our resources tab, www.envisionfinancial.com.au. They can also listen to the podcast. That's on iTunes and Spotify. That's the strategy stacker, Luke Talks About Money, and YouTube. Obviously, we've got the footage from the show where we actually pause it and put the key takeouts that we've spoken about before and after the break. So you can pause it, write down what you need to consider, and then continue watching that. So you can subscribe to Envision Financial Canberra on YouTube and keep up with the shows each week. And we try and answer as many questions as possible. And if you're unsure, just give us a ring. That's pretty prevalent Monday and Tuesday of each week. It's you said this Friday. Can you explain that to me? So that's totally fine too.
That's the thing to do. Luke, thanks very much, and we'll catch you again next Friday.
See you next week.